Give me a beat. Thank you for pushing play. You are listening to the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast, episode 21. Yo, VIP, let's kick it. No one really cares about the guy on the bottom. No one really cares about the guy beneath. And everybody wants to be down with the dude on top of the stairs. Top of the stairs. Cause no one really cares about the guy on the bottom. No one really cares about the guy beneath. And everybody wants to be down with the dude on top of the stairs. Top of the stairs. Little brother, look around. What's up, internet? This is the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast, episode 21. Recorded on June 8, 2015, brought to you by RayRay.net. I am Ray Moraldi, also known as Ray Ray, your sexy party host. And we're going to get right into this interview, basically. I don't know much about soccer. I am definitely caught up on this World Cup fever, just watching a women's team. I am going to talk to Rawan Isha, who is the BuzzFeed sports editor, and we're going to talk soccer. Adam Jacoby, my favorite storyteller, also joins us for this session. So, let's talk about kicking it. Let's talk about rom-coms. Let's do this. Scratch. On the line, first off, my favorite storyteller in the whole wide world, Adam Jacoby. How's it going?
I'm doing great, Ray Ray. How you doing?
I'm good. And our guest, she is the BuzzFeed Sports Editor. Am I right? It's
yes.
Rawan Isha.
Yes.
Rawan Isha. I hope I said it right. Yes. How's it going?
It's great. So, how are you?
I'm good. So Rawan is here to help me explain everything about soccer because I only know a little bit about soccer. Like, I followed the women's national team in the Olympics, and I just watched their first preliminary match. But now, and I hope Adam can help me too.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much going on in soccer. There's so many leagues. I don't know what is like the most important league or most important tournament. What's going on? There's so many.
Well, this is the way I break it down. Okay, so you know the World Cup happens every 4 years.
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm.
And the World Cup, there's really nothing you can compare it to. That's just the greatest thing on earth. And then that's only every 4 years. So when you play in the World Cup, you're playing on your national side. So take Messi, for example. Messi plays for Argentina, so he gets breaks throughout the regular year to go play for his national team and practice with his national team, as does every other international player. But when he's on his club team, he plays for FC Barcelona, which is in Spain. Now, the best leagues are all in Europe. You have the Premier League, the Spanish League, French League, Italian League, and German League. And all of those leagues are part of a Premier League known as Champions League. So the Champions League is like tournament style, intermittent throughout the regular season. So again, I'm going to use Messi as an example. He plays in the Spanish League for Barcelona. So while he's playing games every single week for the Spanish League, he's also going to be playing like one game a week, or not a week, but like he's going to be playing tournament style in Champions League. Now, while every week he only plays in the Spanish League, in Champions League they could the best teams from every single league. So it's kind of like Champions League is the highest honor you can win, but it's really hard because you're competing against the best teams from the best leagues from the best countries.
How does America fall into all of this? Because they have their own league, Major League Soccer, but like it seems like
when
it's
you
nothing
start
compared
watching
to the rest
it, of it. I mean, the thing is, it sounds so, I explained it way more confusing than it is. It sounds really confusing, but once you start watching it, you really do get the hang of it. You learn to differentiate between the regular season games and the Champions League games. Because there's, I want to say, like, three major trophies you can win, which are you win your league, you win Champions League, and you win your League Cup. And Barcelona just won all three of this past season, which is called the treble when you do all three. And it's very difficult to do. It doesn't happen very often. But it's still an honor. Even if they didn't win Champions League or the Spanish Cup, winning the Spanish League or winning the Premier League, winning the German League, it's a pretty big deal. So it's a trophy and an honor in itself to just win your own league.
Yeah, the I believe is Barcelona was the first European team to win the treble twice. Happened this year. So I guess they messed around and got a treble double.
Oh God, I hate you.
funny because it's in the beginning of the season. Adam, I don't know how much familiar you are with soccer, but in the beginning of the season, nobody really expected them to win the treble because Real Madrid was so good and just like barreling through that we figured Real Madrid would just win every single trophy and then go on to win the Champions League. And somehow January happened and everything changed and all of a sudden the team was unstoppable.
How long do soccer seasons go?
Oh, God, it never really ends. It truly, truly never ends. Like,
they've always
let me put it in perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah, like last year we had the World Cup, which ended in July. And then the regular season picks up in August. And so they went from the World Cup to their club teams in August. The season, if you make it all the way to the end of Champions League, goes from August to June. And then if there's an international competition that summer, then you are playing for your international team. So basically, you take a guy like Messi, a guy like Neymar, they're going from playing in the World Cup to playing for Barcelona from August to June, and now they're going straight to Chile to play in Copa America for their country. So it never truly ends. It's always going on. This is why people always ask me, they see me tweeting about soccer all the time, and they're like, when does it effing end? Like, when does the sport end? And I was like, it just doesn't. There's always something going on.
And the answer is no.
I've never been a soccer player, but I've always respected like the way they're just running up and down the field for 90 minutes. I've always respected that. That's why I can never like, you know, put them down like, I don't know, I would back then of other sports because they're just nonstop. Mm-hmm. And
I think they run like 17, 18 miles a game, I think is the number.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
And how many games do they play each year? Or, again, you say it never ends. How many games is it?
Well, it's hard to match up because you're playing the regular season and you're playing Champions League and you're playing for your cup. So I honestly have no idea how many numbers it adds up to. But the way it breaks down is, like, you win – you get 3 points if your team wins. So they add up the points at the end, and then whoever has the most points wins the league. And if it's tied, it goes to goal differential. I mean, Spanish league kind of has a rap for being a two-legged race, sometimes a three-legged race between Real Madrid and Barcelona, and the Premier League is a little more competitive in that, you know, a different team wins every year almost.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to compare it to the NBA, because I want to say the NBA Finals is like winning Champions League, but it's just so different, because the NBA is one league, whereas Champions League is a bunch of different leagues.
Yeah, exactly, and there's still America, which... By the way, how come America still doesn't want to embrace soccer as much as the other countries do?
You know, I think the thing is, like Clint Dempsey always says, that we need to really develop the U.S. youth programs, because when you go to Europe, the youth programs are out of this world. They're just like, it's so hard to even compete with them. And the problem with the U.S. is that all of these kids in America have so many different options of sports that they can play. Whereas if you grow up in Brazil, basically you're handed a soccer ball at birth. Like, that's just how it is.
Mm.
They don't know any other sport. They don't even know why we call it soccer, because all they know is football. Like, to them, they're like, what is this? And we didn't make, you have no idea how much Americans get made fun of for calling it soccer.
I mean, go ahead, Adam.
There's another aspect in which pro soccer teams will take on a form of ownership, or at the very least player rights, to these players at a very young age and sort of take over the developmental aspect of it. Whereas, you know, in America, you play high school and maybe AAU, but, you know, the AAU isn't owned by the Knicks or anything like that.
Right.
And nobody owns your rights when you're playing college ball, and you literally have to play college ball or go overseas before you can be eligible to actually be a professional. So there's that aspect that is totally different and foreign to American sports, or at the very least American team sports. So, you know, there's sort of a form of that in tennis and golf, but by and large, they cultivate soccer players over there, in a way that we don't really cultivate any athletes here, and they've got it down to a pretty nice science.
Yeah
it's really, really competitive. It's like pretty scary how competitive it is, honestly. Like, I always joke and say that I want my nephew to be a soccer player, but like it's harder here. I mean, I know one kid who is trying to, he's training with a bunch of different camps in Europe, but it's really hard because he doesn't live in Europe, he lives here, and but he knows that if he wants to be like a legitimate force in the soccer world, he has to go to Europe. He can't just stay in the MLS.
Yeah.
How about women's soccer? Because we saw how popular it was in the Olympics. I mean, everybody went to Wembley Stadium for the finals of the women's final.
Mm-hmm.
How's that comparing to men's?
Well, you know, it's funny because it's kind of like backwards between men and women's soccer because, like I said, every other country in the world, they give a child a soccer ball at birth, and, like, soccer is the sport, and mm-hmm. the U.S. isn't really like that. But for the women, I mean, it's kind of unfair because you have all of these amazing countries with these amazing, amazing men's soccer teams, and they don't really develop their women's teams at all. Like, this is Spain's first time in the Women's World Cup. And Spain
really?
Is just... Yeah, and Spain is a dynasty
wow.
in the men's world. It's like,
yeah.
In 2010, Spain was they won the World Cup in 2010, and they were from like 2008 to 2011, they were just like the best team, and didn't look like anyone was going to be able to beat them. So the good thing about U.S. soccer, I mean, not the only thing, there's tons of good things about U.S. soccer, but the great thing about U.S. soccer is we really celebrate our women as compared to other countries, and I feel like mm-hmm. that's why so many people are behind them, because they really have a chance to win. I'm like, it almost sounds ridiculous for you to say that we thought men were going to win last year, the U.S. men, but mm-hmm. I hate to admit that, but it really did kind of sound ridiculous. Like, even Jürgen Klinsmann, their coach, was like, we're not going to win this World Cup. We're basically just trying to, like, weave our way through, and then by 2026, we'll try to win the World Cup. But mm-hmm. he was right. He has a really great – I'm a big fan of Klinsmann. I think he has a really great plan to develop U.S. soccer. But, you know, the women, they play in college, like, people come out for their games, they have great atmospheres at all of their league games, too, so, of course, there was going to be all the support going into the Women's World Cup for us.
Yeah, because I started following go ahead, Adam.
One of the nice things is that, you know, America was really ahead of the curve in terms of starting to invest in women's soccer, and it's nowhere near you know, the levels of men's soccer in the most popular men's soccer countries or anything like that, but it's a situation where the United States puts more money into women's soccer than other countries put into women's soccer, and a big part of that is Title IX. You know, that was enacted,
yeah.
mm-hmm. what was it, like 40 years ago, and so all of a sudden, now that we've got this impetus to, you know, not discriminate against women in terms of funding they get, especially for sports programs, you know, mm-hmm. that it puts them on a more level playing field with the men in this country. And that's an advantage that women in a lot of countries don't get, especially when it comes to sports programs that are run through colleges and high mm-hmm. schools. And that is a big part of, you know, sports in America, and maybe more so than, you know, most European countries, where everything takes place at a club level starting very, very early. So I think that is one of the enduring legacies of that program. Also, mm-hmm. you know, just saying no to sexism in general. But one of the nice
yeah.
effects of that is we are very good at a lot of sports, at a lot of women's sports. And that is, it's really cool because there aren't a whole lot of sports where America is the best when it comes to men. You get into hockey, you get into baseball. So,
yeah.
Watching American women's teams dominate and on so many levels is really, really cool and makes me happier to be an American. So thank you, Title IX.
It is kind of cool because, I wasn't sure how good women's soccer was in 2011 and they made it to the gold medal game in the Women's World Cup. And I started following
right.
that team in the Olympics in 2012. And it was, I don't know, I just started getting hooked to see how together this team is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I just kept watching. And aside from basketball, I actually followed women's soccer in the Olympics in London. So that
was
you
had a lot
know,
of fun, didn't you?
Yeah, it was really fun.
Yeah.
I mean, I loved all the girls. I loved all their personalities and the play. And that was probably the most soccer I've ever watched in my life, was following that team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, and hopefully
I'm so happy
they
to
can...
hear that the team that you watched the most was the U.S. women's soccer team. That makes me yeah. happy.
It seriously was. It's like I was watching, like, videos of them on YouTube. I was like, oh, okay,
yeah.
Megan Rapinoe. Okay, my favorite one is Kelly O'Hara. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, because everybody else loved Alex Morgan, and everybody loved Abby Wambach. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm gonna follow someone who really doesn't get much attention. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, Kelly O'Hara's cute.
I think Kristen Press is gonna be like the breakout star of this World Cup, though. I think it's gonna be all about Kristen Press.
Yeah, she scored a goal in that match against Australia. See, I'm even saying match. I'm getting the lingo now. Yeah. Match.
She was very impressive.
So they beat Australia 3-1, even though I love our Australian friends and everything. But you know, I want USA to go all the way in this Women's World Cup. Hopefully, get the gold that they missed out in 2011.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm gonna try to learn more about soccer. I mean, seriously, if I already didn't have much of a life, you know, watching basketball and football and everything, it's like trying to keep up with soccer is like, oh my god, there's this league and that league and.
You know, if you want, this summer, there's actually, the International Champions Cup is coming to the U.S. this summer, and it's really just, like, all of the club teams are coming to showcase in the U.S., and I know they're playing a bunch of games out in California, so you're going to have, like, Barcelona and Manchester United and these really big clubs coming out. I don't know how many of the stars will play, because all of the South American players will be playing Copa America this summer, so... I know that, like, Messi and Neymar will most likely be resting, because I think the FIFA ruling is, like, players need 28 days of rest between competitions. Mm-hmm. So they may not play, but you're going to get to see, like, Luis Suarez and Gerard Piqué and, like, some pretty cool players.
I know who Suarez is. Is he the guy that, like, bit somebody?
Yes. Mm-hmm. He knows who that is.
Is he known for that?
Is he what? Yeah, he's done it 3 times.
Yeah.
Wow.
And the worst part is
he's done it 3 times.
Yeah, and he's great at soccer. It's just he's
amazing.
Yes.
I've really warmed up to him. When I found out that Barcelona was going to buy him, I was really worried, because I was like, oh, come on, I don't want to root for this guy. Like, don't make me root for him. But he really, he's just really, really selfless. I was so surprised. He went from being the number one guy on Liverpool to being, like, he was, like, the best Premier League player to being second fiddle, sometimes third fiddle on Barcelona, which I must say, like, that must take, like, a serious, like, I don't know, that must take a serious blow to his ego. I just can't believe it. I mean, it worked out. He won 3 trophies this year.
So, in your opinion, do you think, like, soccer is, like, the ultimate team game, considering how many people are involved, how many times you pass the ball and everything? Like, I know people say baseball is the ultimate team game, but, I mean, soccer, everybody's involved. Is that the ultimate team game, you think?
I mean, the thing is, you can have an amazing player on your team, and if they don't involve every other player, there's 11 players from each side on the field at once. You really need to involve everyone in order to win. I mean, the level of communication they have is absurd. You have your defenders, your midfielders, and your forwards, and if they're not communicating, then you're going to make a huge mistake and let another team win. And sometimes you really can't come back from one goal. Like, one goal could be the be-all, end-all for a game. So, I mean, I don't know if it's more of a team sport than baseball, but I know with soccer, it's like winning a soccer game for a specific team or especially for a country, it's more than just a game. Like, this is just a lifestyle in the country.
So, basically, just don't lose or else, I don't know, you get killed? Just kidding.
Yeah, I mean, that's happened before.
Yeah.
That's happened in 1994.
Yeah.
Yeah. He scored an own goal and he died.
Wow.
I was terrified for Marcelo in this World Cup, because the very first goal that was scored in the entire World Cup was Marcelo scoring an own goal for Brazil in Brazil.
I feel like I saw that.
I was like, he's not going to make it alive out of the stadium.
Wow. So, yeah, I will do my best to keep up on more soccer, even though there's, like, so many leagues going on, so many games.
Yeah.
But guaranteed, I will keep up with the women's soccer team in this World Cup. Nice. So, yeah. So, Adam, you have anything else to add?
In terms of the ultimate team game or not, baseball has more different and distinct roles to be played. You know, this guy is a center fielder, and this guy is a left fielder, and all nine guys. But it's rarely. You rarely see two or more than two players at any given time working in conjunction. Whereas, as Ron said, I mean, you have to be like one cohesive unit all the time during a soccer game, because one breakdown between your entire 11 is a lot of times all it takes. And you might only have the one breakdown, and you might only give up the one goal, and then that's the whole game. There it goes. So the roles are not as specifically delineated. I mean, there are different positions, but often you're asking two different defenders to do the same thing or whatever. The left defender and the right defender, they're mostly doing the same thing, and they're paying attention to the same ball, and they are probably, you know, their areas of the field range so widely that they're in each other's territory. They're working in conjunction. They're double teaming, triple teaming. The defense and the field sort of crowds the field so much that you never see one player just dominating the possession of the ball ever.
Right.
I mean, the list of soccer players who can keep the ball for more than, I want to say, 4 seconds at any time is Lionel Messi, and that's it. That's the whole list. And that's not an exaggeration, because otherwise the defense is on you and they can dispossess you, as they say, very quickly. And they can dispossess anybody very quickly. So it's all about communication, finding your open spot, passing well, rather than, you know, trying to play hero ball. It's this really amazing, intense, organic, the same word I've used to laud basketball, but improvisational, hugely improvisational game. And it's so much fun, especially once you know what you're watching.
Yeah, for sure.
I am sold.
We'll be right back with Moro One as we talk romantic comedies after this break.
This is Dave McMenamin from ESPN, and you are listening to the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast.
When I started following Rowan on Twitter, one of the first things that we talked about was what? How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days?
Yes, the greatest movie of all time.
It's hilarious because, like, my girlfriend at the time wanted to see it, and I'm like, no, I don't really want to see that. Says me pretending that I don't want to see it, but I really, you know, of course I wanted to.
Yeah.
I totally did, yeah. And I rarely watch in the theaters. Like, I really don't go to the theaters that much. And that was one of the few movies that I watched in the theaters. So.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's terrible. And, of course, there's plenty of terrible plot holes there. Like, how the heck did the New York Knicks make it to the NBA Finals, for one thing?
Oh, yeah. Wait, can you, like, super just, like, side comment here? That reminds me of one of my favorite rom-com, well, not rom-com, but like my favorite movie ever, Love and Basketball.
Love and Basketball,
the thing
yes.
that always drove me crazy in Love and Basketball was that Q's father allegedly won an NBA Finals, but the Clippers have never won an NBA Finals. So it drove me crazy. And they had the Larry O'Brien in their house. I was like, first of all, the Clippers have never won a trophy. Second of all, who gets to keep the Larry O'Brien just like 365 days a year?
It's That's just not right how there. Any of this works.
I know, exactly.
It's not how any of this works.
Yeah, and just the way, like, the crowd, the Madison Square Garden crowd looked totally fake, of course, of how it was the guy in 10 days. And, yeah, again, the Knicks in the NBA Finals. Like, come on, really?
Yeah.
At the time, the Sacramento Kings were good at the time, you know. But yeah, the Knicks and the NBA Finals. Oh man, did you watch How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, Adam?
No, I never did. I'm familiar with it. Go ahead.
Yeah. But that was one of the reasons why me and Rowan started talking, because we made all these references about this movie, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, and I think she just mentioned that it's the greatest movie of all time, so I'm not even going to ask her the question anymore of, like, what's going on of all time.
It is, you know what's funny? You know the scene in How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days when she's, like, sitting in Matthew McConaughey's bathroom and she's crying and he tells her to smile, so she smiles, like, really creepily, and he tells her to stop smiling? I do that every single time someone's upset. I'll be like, baby, please smile. And then they'll smile, and I'll say, baby, you're creeping me out. Stop smiling. And if they've seen the movie, it makes them laugh. And if they've never seen the movie, they're like, what the hell is wrong with you?
Yeah.
Why are you a monster?
And I reminded my girlfriend at the time. I reminded my girlfriend at the time, it's like, dude, this is totally you. You leave like 18 voicemails on my machine. Like, she totally did that. I was like, You're really, like, getting this movie to a T. This is totally you. So, Adam, what is your favorite rom-com of all time?
My favorite rom-com of all time. I would say, man, you put me on the spot.
You're thinking long and hard about this. There must be a lot of them.
Well, there's certainly a few.
Okay, what comes to mind then?
10 Things I Hate About You.
Oh, good one. Good one.
Yeah. What's the Can't Hardly Wait? What's the other one?
But you're naming some stunners here.
I'm naming some what?
You're naming some stunners here. These are some really good picks.
See?
You know your rom-coms.
clearly not quickly.
You're talking to the rom-com king and queen, so...
Okay, so, all right, so Can't Hardly Wait was one with Jennifer Love Hewitt and the note and all that. Okay, what was the one with Evan Rachel Wood where she took off the glasses and she became pretty because of the bet?
Oh, that's, She's All That, and that's Rachel Lee Cook.
Oh, Rachel Lee Cook, yeah, not
Evan. Oh, God, She's All That, yes.
Yeah, yeah, God, She's All That's a great one, too.
Yeah,
so those are the three that just pop into my head pretty quick. I think there are some good ones.
Well,
those are good ones.
Mm-hmm. I'm all like, I put the whole "well, actually" on ad. I was like, "Well, actually, it's Rachel Lee Cook."
you need to watch. Yeah. Wait, what's the? Oh my God, Clueless.
Clueless
is fantastic.
One.
Yeah.
Clueless is awesome. Yeah. Like, I literally have it on. Like, it's right in front of me right now, and I'm all ready to watch it tonight. So. Yeah.
You know, I am Cher Horowitz for Halloween every single year.
Nice.
Every year, nice. I'm Cher Horowitz.
Do you roll with all your homies at the time?
I literally sing roaming, like, every party. I'm, like, rolling with my homies, and I mean, this is why I'm still single. People are like, what the hell?
Yeah. For the record, the movies that we've named, most of them are literary adaptations. And I think that plays just a little bit of a role in why they're such great movies, is because... Mm-hmm. They're all-time classic stories, but instead of everybody talking like they're still in the 1800s and dressing like it, it's actually the details are just a little bit more relatable. But,
yeah, you know,
this is Shakespeare stuff and Jane Austen stuff, and it's pretty rad.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
There's
Pride and
also...
Prejudice isn't really a romance comedy, but it's amazing.
Depends on your definition of romance, I guess. But
yeah. I watch Love Actually like 20 times every holiday season. Like, I seriously do.
I've never seen Love Actually. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's like five or six intertwined stories, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So and I watch it a lot. Like, I know way too much about.
So it's basically like the Pulp Fiction of rom-coms.
I guess you could say that.
Yeah.
I'll say that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's an all-star cast, like, of Hugh Grant and Emma Thompson. Yeah, Liam Neeson's also on. Yeah, you have to watch it now because Liam Neeson's on there.
Yeah.
I can't really leave this topic without mentioning 500 Days of Summer, which I totally love, by the way. Did you watch that yet, Ron?
Oh, yeah. Oh, of course. Yeah. Anything that Joseph Gordon-Levitt has ever starred in, I have seen. I have, yeah, like, a low-key sick obsession with him.
Low-key, huh?
I mean,
you just kind of, like,
so low key
put it out there.
Just mention it on the most popular podcast ever.
Whatever, Adam.
But, you know, when I was working at, I used to work at Good Morning America, and he was on, he was like a guest on the show one day, and I literally could not go into the room where he was. I've never reacted like that around another man in my entire life, where I was just afraid to go up to somebody and talk to them. I was like, you know what, I'm just not going to say anything. I'm going to turn around and pretend I do not see him. It's really embarrassing. And that's when I knew. I was like, that's it. He's got me.
Did you eventually talk to him?
No, didn't.
No?
I cowered.
Oh, man.
That sounds like a rom-com by itself, too. I constantly think about the fact I would never wish divorce on anyone. But if they ever did get divorced, I would like that too. In a comedy where he finds me and we get married and fall in love. It'd be great.
Just call the movie JGL. That's people will know, and they'll be like, oh, yeah, I'm in.
Yeah.
Basically.
I mean, hey, listen, this is my plan to solve peace in the Middle East. He's Jewish, I'm Muslim, so perfect. It's a perfect rom-com.
If these two crazy kids can make it work, then by God.
If these two kids can make it work, anyone can make it work.
Well, Adam, do you have a low-key obsession with someone yourself? I love that. I love that term, low-key obsession. You didn't mention it.
Right. Sort of an oxymoron. Let's see. Man, I don't know. Are we talking about
can I put you on the spot again?
Yeah, why don't you? Are we just talking rom-com actors?
Yeah, sure.
Actresses?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. Let's go with that. Let's go with that.
I mean, I think that I'm not really breaking any new territory here, but I always thought Jennifer Love Hewitt was just amazing in the rom-com, and she could be this totally bland actress and still get all the work she wants because she's really pretty and you know, especially when she was 20 years old, you know, she's a very well-blessed woman. And like, that's a lot for a lot of actresses to just coast on. But, you know, she always had this really bubbly personality and it shine
right
through, and you know, not a bad actress. I'll say that on top of that. So yeah, that she was my low key obsession. I don't know if anyone would be this time or at this point. Maybe I want to see Helen Mirren get back in the rom com game because she's great. And if someone wanted to slip her my number, I would not be upset. Certainly, call me Helen.
Does she have Twitter? Does she have Twitter? We'll tweet her. We'll tweet her your number. How's that?
Yeah. Just check out. Just do a little low key recon. See if she's into puns. and if she is, golden. Yeah.
Golden.
Great. Good plan.
Yeah. Yeah. Most people know about my low key obsession with Lacey Chabert, Gretchen from Mean Girls.
Oh,
but
yeah,
I know she does. But I know she does Hallmark movies, so that kind of counts as like the rom-com genre.
She did the Christian Mingle movie.
That's right.
Oh,
I still need to watch that. I don't care how bad it is. I still need to watch that.
I know. I won't call it hate watching because you can't hate Lacey Chabert.
You can't hate watch Lacey.
No,
you're
not wrong. But
Hallmark
is a step down lifetime.
Hey, I've got nothing better to do sometimes. All right. So, like right now, podcast. I have no idea why. But,
oh my god!
I mean, come on. I live tweeted Twilight. I live tweeted Spice World. Why can't I live tweet Christian Mingle? We'll go with that sometime, right, Adam? At some point.
Yeah.
I don't know where we'll see it.
You know what?
I don't know.
Love finds a way.
Yes, exactly. So, speaking of which, you know what I love?
Hi, this is Joanne Piston Fan, and all I want to do is have some pun. You're listening to Storytime with Adam Jacoby.
I love Adam Jacoby's storytelling. So, you have a story for us?
Yeah, I do have a story. You know, I love a lot of things, and love finds a way. And one of the things that I love most is animals. And I'm watching My little cat, Annie Smalls, playing with some toys right now. And I rescued her from a shelter about 6 months ago, I want to say. A few months ago. Oh, yeah, she's great. She's, she's a welcome addition to the household and everything. But she is not my first shelter pet, or certainly not my first try to get a shelter pet. So anyway, like a few years ago, I was a young man. I was in college, and I was I went to college in a small town. And so, I had an apartment, and I was like, okay, well, I would like to get an animal for my apartment. Uh-huh. And so I go to the local shelter in this town. And they're like, well, we don't have a whole lot. I was like, well, do you have any puppies? They're like, oh, not right now. Well, okay, kitty cats. And they're like, well, there's three of them here. And I'm like, great. But they're all spoken for. We've got a waiting list, and it is months long. I'm like, wow, And like, I'm not, like, they have, like, a horse. And they had... like the large animals, because it was a small town, and this is the state of Iowa. It's a farming state, but like I can't have a goat, So I'm like, okay, all right. So, but like, can I get on the waiting list? Can I like sort of scoot ahead on the waiting list? And they're like, well, I mean, if you want to be a donor, I'm sure that we can start working some things out. But I'm a college kid. I'm barely 21 years old. I don't have $500 to throw at some shelter just for one cat. So I'm like, ah, God, okay. I don't have that kind of money. I can adopt a cat. I can't pay the adoption fees for 15 cats. You know what I mean? So I'm like, okay, there's got to be something I can do. And I said, well, tell you what, one of the pets that we have too many of, one of the few pets, is rabbits. I'm like, okay. And they're like, this is, if you really want to help us out, and this is a you scratch our back, we'll scratch yours sort of situation. We'll give you the food, we'll give you the bedding, the cages. We just don't have the square footage here. So if you can take your rabbits home, keep an eye on them for a few months until we get everything, resituated and everything. And then just give them back. They're not yours to keep, just you're fostering the rabbits. Then we'll make sure that when we can get you a cat, then we'll be good. And I'm telling you, the red flags, the alarms, they should have been going off right there. But I was 21 years old. I didn't know any better, and I thought, well, I guess people just make deals with each other like this. So, all right. And so I all of a sudden had six rabbits living in the kitchen of my little apartment. And as you know, rabbits do what they do.
They multiply.
They multiply rapidly. I almost said rabbitly. That's not what I'm trying to do with this. That's a no pun intended. But no, they were starting to go at it. And so I called the shelter, and they're like, yeah, what's up? And I'm like, hey, these rabbits, they are copulating. And they're like, oh, yeah, well, that's going to happen. And I'm like, well, can I get the rabbits fixed? Will you spay and neuter a bunch of rabbits? And they're like, what do you think we do here? And so I to this day, I don't know if you can spay and neuter rabbits. But regardless, they didn't do that for me. So I was like, okay, I can't just have them sitting here in my apartment doing this for months and months and months. We're going to get into some exponential situations here. I look up 6 weeks later, I'm going to have like 1,000. Okay. So I gotta start getting rid of these. And so like, I put up some ads and, and I've got to, I need to recoup a few of my expenses here. Rabbits are, you can't take care of them for free. The shelter gave me some stuff, but not enough. So I'm like, all right, I'm just going to get like 20, 30 bucks. her rabbit, whatever. And so I sold a few, but not many, because, like, if the shelter can't get rid of them, then some little punk like me, barely putting in any effort, I'm not going to clear out my inventory either. But, you know, I was selling a few here and there, just sort of keeping my own population in check as best as I could. And then apparently that's illegal, and I found that out when the cops showed up at my door because I had sold an unlicensed rabbit to an undercover police officer as part of a sting. Apparently people were selling animals that they were raising and shouldn't be raising, and it was causing a problem. And I was like, yeah, it is a problem, but I had to, yeah. Apparently they've heard that a lot. And apparently it's illegal. And apparently, unless you have a license, which means you go through training and you pay all these fees and this and that, you're not allowed to do that whatsoever. And so I'm like, okay, so what now? And they're like, well, look, we can charge you with unlicensed animal breeding, and it's technically a form of cruelty. And I'm like, whoa. And they're like, we know you're not being cruel here. You know, I explained the situation. They recognized very quickly that this was just something that got out of hand, and it wasn't something I was trying to do for money or anything like that. But they're like, okay, so we're not going to hit you on the worst stuff, but this is still something that you either have to get a license for or stop. And I'm like, well, what do I do with rabbits? They're like, tell you what, we'll call some larger shelters, a few towns down the road. They'll take care of all this. They'll get them off your hands. And I'm like, all right, okay. And so they're like, okay, we're not going to charge you with anything as long as you stop and surrender the rabbits, or you get a license. And I'm like, well, okay, I am, you know, a college kid. I'm pursuing a collegiate career. I can't raise rabbits full time. I don't have the money for a license. So I will take this bargain that you are offering me, police officers. And so they did, and everything ended up fine. But I got to tell you, that was a hair-raising ordeal.
That's a rom-com in itself. A rabbit rom-com.
Yes. Are we having pun yet? This has been Storytime with Adam Jacoby.
Every single podcast Adam does this to me.
Dude, that's hilarious.
That one had levels, because, you know, ordeal, because I had to take the bargain. Man.
I know.
You handled it much better than I would handle it.
So terrible.
I would just be like, get these effing animals out of my face right now.
Well, I was just a kid. I didn't know any better. I had no idea I was participating.
No, you handled it very well for a 19-year-old.
Breedings.
Hair racing ordeal.
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 See, if this is a rom-com, you would have probably met, like, the love of your life. The police officer would have been the love of your life.
Oh, yeah, totally. It
would have been Jennifer Love Hewitt.
There you go.
Jennifer Love Hewitt as a police officer. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, she
I feel
shows
like you
up
can write a rom-com about this ordeal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, my God. Wait. We can call it the Harry Ordeal, and the main character can be named Harry, H-A-R-R-Y.
When Harry met. Never mind.
Would that be amazing?
We got to get Hollywood on this.
We'll start a Kickstarter.
Definitely.
Kickstarter.
Yeah, exactly.
And then we'll pitch it to Hallmark, because Hallmark will buy it, because they're Hallmark. And then we can star Lacey Chabert, and then you can finally meet Gretchen Wieners, and that's it.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah.
I've just figured out your life for you.
I get to play Adam's part, right? I guess. Awesome.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm glad we have a backup plan.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll do the social media and marketing for the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I like how we're planning out this rom-com now. Awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Maybe we should probably take it off the podcast if someone doesn't steal our ideas, just FYI. So we should talk about this separately.
Exactly. Exactly.
I don't want someone stealing the Harry ordeal Hallmark fire thing. So.
If I could just throw this out there, obviously I'll write and direct, but executive producer Helen Mirren. That's all I'm going to say.
Yes. Got it. Done.
All right. Yeah,
but we
exactly.
can cast Lindsay Lohan because she's not doing anything else with her life.
She'll play the rabbits.
She'll play anything. She'll play the rabbit. She'll play the breeder. She'll play whatever we tell her to play. This will be her comeback movie.
Number 5. Yes.
Wow. I can't wait for these camera tricks about how like all the rabbits.
It's going to be great.
Oh my god, let's wrap this madness up. Rawad, where can we find your work again?
BuzzFeed.com/sports.
All right, and we can follow you on Twitter at
Rawad.
Yeah, R-A-W-A-N. And Adam, where can we find your work and your terrible stories?
I am at twitter.com/RAWAN. I am at Adam_Jacoby, and you can find me at blackheartgoldpants.com.
Nice.
So great.
Thank you for wasting my time, people.
Awesome. This was awesome, guys. Thank you for having me on.
This is Zach Harper of CBSSports.com. You're listening to Ray Ray's Fundamental Podcast because Ray Ray is fundamental. You know, like those NBA commercials with the reading is fundamental. You get what I mean.
Thank you, Rowan, for coming on the show, as well as Adam Jacoby for telling us a great story. Soccer, rom-coms, good stories. I love it. Also, we kind of forgot to talk about the NBA Finals, but that's okay. This podcast was, again, recorded on June 8th, so Game 3 shall be played very, very soon. We'll see if the Cavs or the Warriors take a 2-1 series lead. Anyway, as you know, you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. You can also download the show at rayray.net. You can find the show at Stitcher. And you can follow the podcast on Twitter at rayrayisfun, because you cannot fit rayrayisfundamental on the Twitter handle. And if you want to follow my personal account on Twitter, it's the No Look Pass. Gal Pal Squad, thanks so much for taking care of me. Everybody, thank you so much for your support and to listening to this podcast. And just remember, Ray Ray is fundamental, and you don't need a library card to check me out. Until the next episode, party people.
Hello?
Hey, where did we lose you?
You lost me at the rabbits. I'm serious, that was like 2 minutes ago. I think it's because it's raining so bad over here right now that the phone call keeps going in and out. Yeah, it's raining really bad.
Oh, I had no idea. Okay, so rabbits.
Did we get to the multiplying rapidly part?
Yes.
Okay. So we'll
good.
Pick up right there. Okay. Game over, yeah!
Moded.